This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us today. As we take a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. And Bill, here's the Roman Catholic Pope has now taken on God's law. And of course, the Roman Catholics have never been very good with God's law. It's interesting, as you water down law, you water down grace, you water down grace, you water down law. Because if, you know, it's a salvation by works motif, you're probably going to have to water down the righteous requirements of God's holy law in the process.
Simply because you can't match up to
that's
it.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you exactly. just can't keep it.
So that's pretty much how the Christian faith slowly degrades, whether it be in the Protestant form or the Catholic form. But the Pope has now come out and officially changed Catholic teaching concerning the death penalty. The death penalty, per the Roman Catholic Pope, is now inadmissible.
Now, is he speaking, what is it, ex cathedra? Is he making this a doctrinal
my
position?
My understanding is this is official now.
Wow.
It is official, and I guess that binds all Catholic judges. They can't allow for the death penalty anymore.
That brings a real problem to jurisprudence.
It's about half of the Supreme Court in the United States, I guess, will have to resign.
A little more.
So what do you do with the murderer? And I think the solution is you give him room and board at the expense of the victims for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And that's the way the Roman Catholics define justice. But the next question is, how does God define justice? Oops, did anybody ask that question? Was that you that asked that question, Bill?
I think.
What does God say in his word? And of course, modern man has become increasingly autonomous, and this is the very definition of humanism. Humanism is the effort to undermine God's law at every single point. And that's, of course, why homosexuality is being received by a very large portion of the Christian church. What, 49% of evangelical millennials have embraced homosexual marriage. And that's because evangelicalism does not teach Old Testament law. That's because evangelicalism draws a firm line between Old Testament and New Testament and has rejected God's moral law. And that, again, is a form of modern humanism. Humanism makes up its own law. It creates a law to itself. It's called autonomy. So modern man is autonomous. The modern church, for the most part, is autonomous. It has rebelled against God, and it has taken the serpent's temptation in the garden, one more time, you shall be as gods, determining good and evil for yourself. And that's, of course, what modern evangelicalism and modern Christianity has done over the last, say, 400 to 500 years. Thankfully, there was a tiny reformation that actually had influence upon the entire globe for a couple of centuries. But now Protestantism and Catholicism alike have virtually eliminated God's law as the standard for life. Genesis 9:6 makes it very clear, if a man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And Romans 13 and verse 4, of course, both Old Testament and New Testament affirm this. This is an easy one. This is not hard. This is one of the most clear gimmies in all of Scripture. Romans 13, 4, the civil power is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. As a
what do you do with a sword? Do you spank people?
You don't spank people.
No, you decapitate people.
Yes.
You cut off the cap and about 8 inches below the cap.
Yep. Swords cut people up. Swords will cut people up. And the civil magistrate is the minister of God, who has been assigned by God to use a sword. And he uses that sword as a revenger to execute wrath upon the guy who does evil, the guy who breaks God's law in egregious ways as defined by God's laws. Now, again, if you've given up on the Old Testament and the New Testament as the source of your law, and you have claimed to be a humanist, and you have said, I hate the law of God. I don't want to hear the law of God taught, and I don't want to submit myself to the law of God, then you are a rebel against God, and you have no interest in the laws of God. But Christians still receive God's laws, and they say with the psalmist, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." That's what Christians say. Christians are those who keep the faith of Jesus and the commandments of God, and they do so with patience and endurance, as defined by Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14. So again, my friends, if you are a Christian in the last days, you will be amongst those who keep the faith of Jesus and you keep the commandments of God. That means you got respect and reverence and appreciation for the commandments of God, and you refer back to them from time to time.
Now, that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about at the upcoming conference in Oregon, and that is this idea of artificial authority. And there's where you have a man who claims equal authority with God's word, the Pope, speaking in contradiction to what God's word says. Now, he has a position of authority within the church, but he has artificial authority. He is denying the power of the gospel. He's denying the power of the word of God. And as a result, he has authority, but he's speaking in an area which he does not have authority. We see that with politicians all the time. We see that with judges all the time. It's interesting, in the New York Times, when this came out 2 or 3 days ago, the New York Times really cut to the heart of this, and they said, look, is this going to affect judges? Is it going to affect politicians, elected officials? Is the Pope's ruling going to affect them? And they interviewed Chester Gillis, who is the professor of theology at Georgetown University, and he described that the new teaching on the death penalty is, quote, part of the regular teaching of the church, end quote, and it is binding. That means that what's going to happen? I mean, Antonin Scalia, who died in 2016, he was the justice in the Supreme Court. He said, I do not find the death penalty immoral. He said he was confident that Catholic doctrine allowed for its use in some cases, but that's no longer
not
the
anymore.
Case.
Not anymore.
So he wrote that it would be a bad idea if Catholic judges had to recuse themselves in death penalty cases or if Catholic governors had to promise commutations of death sentences, and commented, quote, most of them would never reach the governor's mansion, end quote. So this has rippling effects upon justice. It has rippling effects upon the jurisprudence system in our country, because we have a tremendous number of Catholics who are involved in law, unlike evangelicals, because evangelicals have skirted this issue. They have separated the sacred from the secular, and they have said, we're not going to dirty our hands with law. We're not going to dirty our hands with politics. We're just going to be concerned about saving people's souls.
Well, Christian leaders are increasingly self-consciously setting themselves against the Lord and against his anointed as rebels against the God of heaven. And they are saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But he that is in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Indeed, as they abandon God's laws and they shake off the restrictions that God places upon them by his commandments and laws, they are shaking their fist against Almighty God. Will that work out for them? I don't think so. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. This is where we are, my friends, with Christian leaders, or quote-unquote Christian leaders, and that's because these false religions water down sin, they water down God's law, they water down grace. And after a while, they don't have anything of the Christian faith left. Be back with more on the Generations Radio broadcast in just a minute. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we take a look at many instances in which the kings of the earth, the judges of the earth, the Christian leaders of the world have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast their cords from us. That is, we will not be bound by his laws, and we'll do everything we possibly can to cast away any kind of restrictions that might come from a biblical morality that was imposed on us from the previous 2,000 years. And here's the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals once again affirming a ban on prayer at in public schools. In this case, though, the ban was affirmed on anything that might resemble a prayer at board meetings at a Southern California school district. So that's most recently, this requires the board to censor or otherwise remove individuals who attempt to say a prayer or anything that might resemble a prayer during the public comment period, explained Robert Tyler, legal counsel representing Chino Valley United School District, et cetera. So it appears that the kings of the earth have set themselves against the Lord and gets his anointed again, and this time opposing all public prayers and all public meetings in the state of California. We'll see how that works at the Supreme Court. But I really want to get to the kings of the earth, the judges of the earth, the powerful players of the world setting themselves against God and against his anointed through these powerful, powerful companies. Now, Apple Corporation is the largest corporation in the world. It has topped $1 trillion and soon to be valued at $1.3 trillion. This is the first $1 trillion company ever, and apparently Google is approaching that as well as Microsoft. But Amazon is now worth nearly $900 billion as well. So it appears that these are the largest companies in America, Apple, Amazon, Google. In terms of their stock value, they have now topped out at $800 billion, $900 billion. Now for Apple, $1 trillion. Now, friends, as it turns out, these companies are the biggest companies in the world. They are the most vulnerable companies in the world, and they are the most immoral companies in the world. So I think you get a combination here of a house of cards. Indeed, these tech companies are a house of cards. This computer technology were the first to bite the bullet and bite the dust in the next Great Depression, making the dot-com bust look like a picnic in the park. That's where we are, friends. And of course, these companies are flagrant in their support for wickedness and sin. They're most pro-homosexual companies in America today. And they are flexing their muscles and doing their best to persecute others as well. Apple has participated in the San Francisco Pride Parade for 5 years running. This year, they had 1,000 people in the Apple section of the Pride Parade. Now, if anybody wants to know what the Pride Parade is, it's a parade in which proud people shake their fist against God and say, we're going to violate your law anytime we want to, and we are proud about it. So that's effectively what they do, but apparently it has something to do with the sin of homosexuality as well.
It used to be one parade on one day, and then it morphed into a weekend. Then it became an entire month. And that is where it is today. And many cities celebrate it with putting up the gay pride flags, and they fly them all month long.
And the company, that's the Apple company, the largest, most powerful company in the world, the Apple company has also rolled out pride-focused displays on a handful of Apple stores around the country as well during the month of June. And so, my friends, Apple is probably one of the most self-consciously antichrist companies in the world.
Yeah, see, you've got a little.
I got an apple here. What do we got here?
A bite out of the apple.
A bite taken out of the apple, yeah. And where did that happen? Where does a bite taken out of fruit happen in the Garden of Eden? And I think we all know what Apple is all about. Apple Corporation has been out in the forefront of promoting homosexuality, and they are proud of their homosexuality as well. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is also on a mission to promote the sex revolution. He has been screening cities for his new headquarters, and he includes those cities that have promoted LGBTQ lifestyles and those cities that silence any dissenters. Okay. It would appear that Amazon's latest effort to advance the sex revolution and silence Christian voices has been by removing pro-family groups from the list of eligible Amazon Smile charities. And that's the most recent. So, again, my friends, these are the most powerful companies in America, the most powerful companies in the world, and they have set themselves against the Lord. They've set themselves against anybody who would appear to maintain anything of a Christian lifestyle or a Christian way of thinking. They targeted Christians, and they are persecuting Christians with everything they've got. Google also has promoted same-sex marriage and homosexual adoptions in their ads. They've sponsored homosexual conferences over the years. Also, Google Korea has had its employees participating in Korea's homosexual festivals over the years. Now, these companies are powerful companies, Bill. They're powerful. They've got more money than any other institutions in the world, with maybe the exception of the United States federal government. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So these guys are certainly under the control of the devil.
Yeah, they're tools. They're tools. And they're being used on several levels. They're being used by China to suppress free speech. They're being used by the enemy to suppress the proclamation of the gospel. And they're being used by those who are liberals or progressives to suppress what would be the typically called the conservative movement, or those who want to preserve liberty.
And, conservatives are being kicked off the platforms, as we've reported in the Worldview in 5 minutes. Alex Jones was kicked off of YouTube, Facebook, and Apple platforms just this last week. And Facebook said that Jones had violated their hate speech policies. Apple removed 5 different InfoWars podcasts from iTunes, and InfoWars lost 2.5 million subscribers on YouTube. And I believe YouTube is owned by Google, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, yeah. Friends, in a statement released yesterday, InfoWars called this the modern-day electronic equivalent of book burning, and suggested that conservative news outlets that don't speak out will be banned from the internet next. So, in other words, if you're not going to protest, you're probably going to be next in being banned from the internet, at least on these particular platforms. And so,
it's interesting. It reminds me of Martin Niemöller's statement, you know, about the Nazis, you know, yeah. And how they came to power. He said, first, they came for the trade unionist. I wasn't a trade unionist, so I didn't speak out. They came for the socialist. I was not a socialist, so I didn't speak out. Then they came for the Jews. I was not a Jew. Then they did not speak out. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out. Mm-hmm. And so even though you may or may not agree with Alex Jones, no matter what you think of him, you must agree that this is censorship in the most egregious of ways, and that is, it is censorship of free speech. And ideas that are censored, then you have some problems here. And you've got to realize that we must defend the right of those with whom we disagree to speak. That is part of what we as Christians do. We don't suppress, we destroy. We are on a search and destroy mission. We are destroying arguments raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We do not believe in suppression. We believe in the destruction of bad ideas. Mm-hmm. And in order to destroy bad ideas, they have to be debated publicly.
And the difference is what we consider to be right and what we consider to be wrong. We consider Nero to be wrong, And Amazon and Apple and these other guys consider Nero to be right when he officiated his own homosexual wedding. So that's the difference. You know, they believe that we are sinning by condemning what Nero did. We believe that Nero is sinning by doing what he did.
Right.
So that's the difference, friends. Again, because we take a position against the sin of homosexuality and homosexual marriage, that is the ultimate sin in the minds of those who have embraced Nero and have embraced what Nero likes to do, and that is the sin of homosexuality. So this is a conflict of values. This is a conflict of morality. Now, what we're going to say is that they have no basis for their particular moral stance. To say that somebody cannot condemn verbally the sin of homosexuality and to say that is an immoral thing to do has no basis on the naturalistic, materialistic definition of ethics. It just has no basis at all. There's no basis upon which you can say it's wrong for anybody to say anything or do anything if you have taken a materialistic, naturalistic approach to ethics. That is a relativistic approach to ethics, where you just, on one day you say this is right, and the next day you say that is right. On one day you say this is wrong, on the other day you say that is wrong. Your ethics is arbitrary if you have no absolute source for your ethics, and we do, and that is the absolute source of all reality, the absolute source of all life, the absolute source of all truth, and the absolute source of all ethics, and that is God. We have a source of ethics. We have a basis by which we can authoritatively say something is right or something is wrong. And those who maintain a materialistic, naturalistic approach to life have no basis upon which to call something right or something wrong. And that, my friends, is the difference. They have no basis for their ethics. And by the way, their companies are built on a house of cards, and their companies will come down. So why must the most powerful companies in the world support the most egregious sins in the world? Why must big money press so hard against God's morality? Because the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, that is the most powerful men in the world, the most powerful companies in the world, and the most powerful emperors in the world, they come together, they counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, thinking that if they can just join their arms together and raise their fingers together and produce obscene gestures in the face of Almighty God, they might just get away with it. But I have news for them. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Kiss the Son now, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. What is anger is kindled but a little. That's the message to send home to the judges of the world and the kings of the world. And those guys who think they are on the top of the world because their companies are worth a measly $1 trillion. And we say, big deal. The most powerful nations, the most powerful people, and the most powerful companies in the world tend to become the most morally depraved. Because power and money give the impression that they are in control. It gives them the pretense that we don't need to submit to God anymore. We can do this on our own. We can manage our own destiny. But I have news for you. That is a complete lie. And one day, despite all of your money and power, Jeff Bezos, anybody else who leads the big companies in the world, one day you will die and you will stand at the judgment seat of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the judge of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless you repent and turn to him in faith now and cry out to him for mercy upon yourself, he will say to you, depart from me, you cursed, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire. Well, my friends, this is not the time to fear man. This is not the time to fear companies. This is not the time to fear Amazon or to fear powerful governments or the Supreme Court of the United States. This is the time to fear the God who is the judge of the world. And it is the time for the kings of the world and the judges of this world to kiss the Son, lest he be angry and they perish from the way. As we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, I'd encourage you to my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the progress, the process, the ideologies that brought about the radical, radical rebellion against the old Christian order, against the laws of God. And it came about through the 19th and 20th centuries, and I tell the story in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for